Jesse. All right, nice. I don't have to talk as loud. All right. This morning I brought the cross. You want to touch the cross? You can't hear in a moment. I'll let you hear in a moment. If you just, yeah. We're going to give a children's moment right now. Right after this, we're going to be taking the kids back to junior church. So if you have little ones, they can come back with us to junior church. And then after church, you can pick them up. In the classrooms in the hallway back behind me, back this way. If you can't find your kids, just ask anybody. We can help you find your kids. All right. I'm looking around. I don't think we have anybody that could come forward. Okay. So I brought a cross with me. I want you right now, because when Jesus is talking to the crowds, all right, it's before he died and before he rose again. All right. They did not have that in their mind. Right? We put crosses up as symbols of hope and salvation. They didn't have that, right? It was a symbol of shame. It was a symbol of pain and suffering. It brought dishonor on you, dishonor on your family to die on the cross. It was not a good thing. And you sit down with Jesus. And he says these words, and I want you to take on, pretend you're those people. And he says, you cannot be my disciple unless you pick up your cross and carry it with me. What? Is that crazy? That crazy? I mean, really? Like, they sit there and they go, what? A cross? Why would we carry a cross? That's for criminals. That brings shame. It's the horrible, most horrible way to die. You know, that's terrible, right? Does that seem terrible to you, Sammy? You really want to touch the cross, don't you? So if you sit there and you're thinking about that, you think this is what you're supposed to do. Come here, Sammy. I'll let you know. You can come up. All right, here you go. Without hitting anybody. All right, this is what you have to do every day now. You have to carry this in order to follow Jesus. Is that, you good? Heavy. It is heavy, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little elite. I'm glad I didn't grab that one over there in the corner. That's even worse. Yeah. All right, that's, yeah. Can you do that every day to follow Jesus? Do you love Jesus enough to carry this every day? Ooh, that's a tough question.
Jesus.
Yeah, you love Jesus, but this, yeah, this is, all right, you're right, you're right. Here, set this one down. Set this one down. How about this one? Here, I got a smaller one for you. Gee whiz, we got kid-sized crosses. Are we the bad guys? All right, here, how about that? I know, kid-sized crosses. That's terrible. Is that good? Is that good? Here. You could carry that all day? You carry it to school? Set it next to your desk?
Yeah.
Put your backpack on it? Yeah? Do you think people would think you were weird for carrying a cross?
Yeah.
Why?
They would be like a little confused.
A little confused?
I would make them understand.
Oh, that one has a stand. That one's nice. How about this? I brought, here we go. What is that? That's a tiny cross with it on a chain, right? Like, it's a necklace. Could you carry that cross? You could carry that cross. That would be an easier way to carry the cross. So we're looking for an easy way to follow Jesus' teaching, right? Is this what Jesus meant? He's like, look, this one's pretty big. Here, you can wear one around your neck. Is that what he meant? Because he wants us to wear it so we show everybody we're Christian, right? Is that what it is? No, when he says to pick up and carry your cross, maybe, well, it's not. It's a trick question. You can have a seat for a second. Obviously, we're not told to actually pick up a real cross and carry it, thankfully. Many of us would not be able to be Christians if we had to. All right. But what we are called to do is a lot harder. Because what did Jesus have to do to carry his cross? He had to die. He had to die. He gave up everything. He gave up everything for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how important you are to him. That's how important salvation was to him. So carrying the cross isn't about picking up a literal cross. It's about giving up everything. Everything. That's hard. That's harder. I think it'd be a lot easier to pick this up and carry it every day than it would be to actually give up everything to follow Jesus. But that is what he asks of us. And thankfully, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And here's the thing. All right. You only give up everything for something that you find valuable and worth it. And Jesus gave up everything because he thinks you are valuable and you are worth it. And for that, he is the most valuable thing and the most worthwhile thing for us in our lives ever. There is nothing more important to us than Jesus. So when he asks us to take up our cross, to give up everything, it's because we don't actually have to. We give up everything because he is worth it and he is valuable. All right, and let's head to Junior Church.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you will, please turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26 is going to be our text today. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I would really like for us to recognize those within our congregation that served in the military. So those of you who had served in the armed forces in any capacity, will you please stand where you are, please? Just stand where you are. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Yesterday, really, it was last evening, I received a call from Susan Richardson asking that we lift her husband Lester up in prayer. At that time, he was taken to ER at St. Francis Hospital, having difficulty breathing. He already has COPD. They thought he may have pneumonia, but I haven't heard definitively. She didn't really say definitively this morning, did she, what they have determined. In fact, they said that he's still having difficulty laboring to breathe. And so we just want to lift him up in prayer this morning. If you will, please just bow with me. So lift up Lester. Father in heaven, we want to thank you, O God, for being our Father, for loving us, for giving us your Son. We love you, Father, deeply. And Father, we know that as your children, we have brothers and sisters all over the world that we love deeply. And especially those, dear Father, who are here within our church family. And Father, we just want to right now just lift up Lester to you, dear God. He's having difficulty breathing. He's just this summer, he was in the hospital for over a week with this, Father. Kind of in and out of the hospital. We just pray that you bless him and strengthen him. We pray, dear Father, that if it is pneumonia, that you will clear his lungs. We just pray for complete healing. Dear Father, please. And we lift up Susan to you as well, dear Father, as she cares for her husband, dear God, and all of his family. Just watch over him, bless him. And our prayer is, dear Father, that you make him well so that he can come back home to be with his wife again very soon. So our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Today is going to be our final lesson in the series in the footsteps of the Savior, and also be the final small group tonight as well. Today's lesson, I want us to take a look at what it means and what it takes to be a true follower of Christ. Okay? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Listen to what Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Have you ever seen one of those car dealership commercials that says that anyone can buy a car here? Yeah, we accept, all applications are accepted here. And it is true that they will accept every application from anyone who walks to the front door, but it is not true that anyone can buy a car there. I mean, as you fill out the application, you realize that only people who meet certain qualifications can buy a car, only those who pass the credit check. Now, these car dealerships don't really mean anyone, do they? This is the only a ploy to get people to come to their place of business so that they can weed out the bad ones, you know, the unworthy ones, and accommodate only those who meet certain qualifications. You know, there's always a catch. There's always a catch. Now, some may wonder the very same thing about Jesus' invitation. Is there a catch? Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please. So here we are. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me. Now, some people may be asking, now when Jesus said anyone, does he really mean anyone or only those who can get their lives all together? Or so let me get this straight. When Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he wasn't really talking about everybody, was he? I mean, I don't always do the right thing. I don't think he was really talking about me. And there are some people who ask that question. Does he really mean anyone? But friends, the invitation to follow Jesus, to be saved, to go to heaven, is open to anyone and everyone. Amen? It's open to anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone qualifies to have eternal life. There's no catch. Now, yes, there are conditions. But these conditions can be met by anyone and everyone without exception. But let's listen to what Jesus goes on to say. Luke 9, verses 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, here are a crowd of people who are crowding around Jesus. He turns and he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Someone said, wow. What does a preacher supposed to do with that? Church, although there are great blessings in following Jesus that I preached on all of September, you know, the blessings of a Christian, there are also great sacrifices to be made. And even though there were crowds of people pursuing Jesus wherever he went, he turns to them and says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I mean, it was not an audience that Jesus wanted. He wasn't looking for numbers. He was looking for true followers. That's what Jesus wants. He wants true followers. And the truth is, the message of the cross is not an easy one. Okay? I want you to understand that. It's not an easy one. So what does it take then to be a true follower of Christ? Number one, it takes desire. Say that with me. Desire. Now, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me. Now, first of all, we notice here that Jesus said that anyone is welcome to follow him, okay? Anyone is welcome to follow him. No matter who you are, where you are from, what background you might have, what sins you might have committed, you are welcome to follow Jesus. No one is turned away because no matter of who you are or what you have done. Nobody is turned away. So no one then can make an excuse, well, Jesus doesn't want anybody like me, because it is an open invitation to whom? Anyone. To whom? Anyone. Secondly, Jesus wants only those who have a genuine desire to follow Him. I mean, Christ doesn't force anyone to follow Him. He doesn't force anybody. He just invites. You know, He invites us. It is a deliberate decision to turn your life over to Jesus and follow Him. You know, not you don't do this to please your, to try, well, I've got to do it to please my wife. I've got to give my life to Jesus to please my parents. But what we need to understand is that we are to follow Jesus because we want to follow Him. It is our desire. You know, in the years past, my years of ministry, I have seen so many people who come forward during the invitation song, confess their faith in Jesus and are baptized in Him only to never return. Have you known people like that? They never come back. I mean, they just go about their lives as if nothing really happened. And then there are those who give their lives to Christ and follow Him for a while, but then other things become more important. They quit praying. They quit reading their Bibles. They quit worshiping on Sunday mornings. I mean, their desire to follow Jesus diminishes. It is displaced by someone or something they think is better. And this is the very thing that Jesus is warning against. He wants people who desire to be there, who will follow Him no matter what. I mean, Jesus has already, you know, witnessed many of His disciples leaving Him because they thought His teachings were just too difficult. And He's already seen disciples leave. In fact, John talks about that in the book of John, John chapter 6, verse 60. It says here, on hearing it, many of His disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" I mean, they're saying, "Hey, Lord, yeah, follow You. Your teachings are just a little too hard. You know, we can't follow You." And as a result of that, in John 6, verse 66, it says, "And from this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him." Friends, I want you to understand that salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. Okay? Discipleship is costly. But secondly, to be a true follower of Christ, not only does it take desire, it takes denial. Say that with me, denial. Again, Jesus added, he must deny himself or herself. Now, denying self is not the same as self-denial. Okay? It's not the same thing. Self-denial is what people do when they make a New Year's resolution. Do you ever do this? Make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to quit eating ice cream. So you make that resolution. Or I'm going to quit binge watching television. And such self-denial is usually temporary at best. Am I right about that? I mean, there certainly doesn't lead to any kind of permanent change. But denying self is entirely different. It is a complete surrender of oneself for Christ. That's what denying self means. In fact, the Greek word for deny means to utterly disown, to refuse to associate with or companion with someone. It's the very same word that Luke used to describe what Peter did to Jesus when he disowned Him, when he denied Him in Luke chapter 22, verse 57. At that moment, Peter disowned Christ. He disowned Christ. But friends, we don't have to say, I don't know Jesus to deny Him, to disown Him. Sadly, there are a countless number of so-called Christians who disown their Lord by promoting their own agendas and pursuing their own pleasures, in direct contrast to what Jesus Christ wants and expects from them. And that's why Jesus turns to his apostles and to the people who have been crowded around him and says, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself. You must disown yourself. You see, what we deny, when we deny ourselves, we are saying, I no longer want to associate with the person that I am. I no longer want to associate with the person that I am. I realize my sinfulness. I realize my stubbornness and propensity to do things my way. I realize that I am nothing without Jesus. And I abandon all self-effort. I abandon all self-confidence. I abandon all self-will. I abandon my own ambitions, my own agenda, my own plans, my own pleasures, and I surrender my life to Jesus. That's what it means to deny ourselves. You see, before submitting our lives to Christ in baptism, we made a confession. Do you remember the confession that you made before when you gave your life to Christ? For those of you who are Christians, will you recite it with me? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. To accept Jesus as our Lord means to give up ourselves and live for Him. That's what it means. I mean, just like the Apostle Paul, when he wrote in Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Jesus demands that we deny self because He is the one who owns us now. When we say, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we relinquish ourselves to Jesus. He now owns us. We belong to Him. Now, denying self is not easy, okay? It's not easy. And it certainly wasn't easy for the Apostle Paul either. In fact, before giving his life to Christ, Paul was a self-righteous Pharisee who lived for himself and thought that he could do no wrong. I want you to keep your Bibles marked here at Luke, okay? Luke 9. But I want you to turn over to the book of Philippians. And we're going to be here for just a little bit. Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Listen to how he describes his life before giving it to Christ. Verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have far more. Put confidence in themselves. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, listen to what he says, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. Did you hear what he said? Paul, as a self-righteous Pharisee, said, I was perfect. That's what Paul says. I was perfect. But I want you to listen to Paul as he describes his self-promoting life, or really as he describes the life that he has now in Christ. Listen to what he goes on to say. Beginning with verse 7. Again, as a self-righteous Pharisee, Paul says, I am perfect. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them rubbish. That word for rubbish means manure. I consider them manure, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul said, as a self-righteous Pharisee, man, I was the best. I was the greatest. I mean, look at my pedigree. Look at my victory list. Look at all the things I've accomplished as a Jew, as a Pharisee. All these things. When it came to legalistic righteousness, I was perfect. But now as he look at his life in Christ, he says, all the things that I have accomplished as that Pharisee is nothing but manure. It's nothing but manure as I know Christ. Because when I gave my life to Christ, everything changed. I realized my selfishness. I realized all the things that I was dealing with. I realized my sins. I realized that how self-righteous that I was when I gave my life to Christ. And all these things are nothing but manure. Thirdly, to be a true follower of Christ takes death. Will you say that with me? Death. Now, that's a word we don't like. But Jesus said here, take up your cross and follow me. Now, this is the first mention of a cross in Luke's gospel. First time it's ever mentioned. Even when Jesus told the disciples in verse 21 that he was going to be killed, he didn't say it was going to be by a cross. And by using that word would immediately conjure up only one thing in the minds of those who heard it, and that was death by crucifixion. That's what they understood. And Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross and follow me. Now, crucifixion was a Roman execution, was common in Rome. And in fact, historians say that there were over 30,000 people nailed to crosses during the lifetime of Jesus. 30,000. Everyone knew that the cross was an instrument of shame, suffering, torture, and death. And when a person took up his cross, he was beginning a death march. You know, dead man walking, because that's exactly what was happening. And yet Jesus tells those around him that if you really want to follow me, you have to be willing to pick up your cross. I love the object lesson that Ben used when here's Sammy holding this cross. Can you carry this every day? Not every day. But do you love Jesus enough? I love Jesus, but I can't carry this every day. But again, Jesus is not talking about a physical cross here, okay? He is simply saying that you have to be willing to die to self. I mean, taking up our cross means that we will not allow anything or anyone come between us and Jesus. When we take up our cross to follow Jesus, we are saying that whatever we face in life, whatever difficulty that comes our way, whatever sinful pleasure that might entice us, whatever person that tries to dissuade us, we will not be moved. We're going to continue to follow Jesus no matter what. And church, taking up the cross is not a one-time event. You know, that happened the day you accepted Jesus Christ in baptism. No, again, Jesus said in verse 23, we must take up our cross daily. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please. We must take up our cross daily and follow Him. Every single day, we take up our cross. We are to begin each day with a resolve that today I die to self and live for Jesus. That's what it means. I die to self and live for Jesus. Nothing mattered more to Paul than dying to self and living for Jesus. Nothing. In fact, I want you to listen to what Paul goes on to say. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, listen to Paul as he concludes this. He said, I want to know Christ And the power of his resurrection, when he says, I want to know Christ, he wants an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. I want to know Christ intimately. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As a self-righteous Pharisee, Paul says, I am perfect. But as a follower of Christ, Paul says, man, there's no way that I'm perfect, but I'm striving to be more like Jesus every day. Strive to be more like Christ every single day. You see, church, it's when we die to self that we truly begin to experience the life that Jesus came to give. Turn back to Luke chapter 9, if you will, please. Luke chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse 24 of this passage. Luke 9, verse 24, Jesus said this. He said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Now, losing our lives for Christ just simply means living for Christ. Living for Christ and not ourselves. If we want to hang on to our old self, guess what? You can. If you want to hang on to your old self, you can. If you want to keep control of your life, to live it your way, to continue your sinful lifestyle, God will let you do that. He'll let you do it. I mean, he has given us free will. He is not going to stop you. He's not going to stop you. He'll let you do whatever it is that you want to do. But do realize that by clinging to your life, you will ultimately lose it. In fact, Jesus asked in verse 25, look at verse 25. He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self, his own soul, to be lost eternally in hell? Jesus is describing a man who says, listen, God, what I have decided, instead of taking my cross and following you, I've decided to gain the world. I want the world. I mean, did the man that Jesus is referring to make a good deal in his exchange? I mean, from a worldly perspective, we would say, well, yeah, he did. Man, I mean, he had everything that he wanted, everything that he desired, money, pleasure, happiness, friends, prestige, popularity. I mean, he gained the world. Well, he gained the world, but he lost his soul. That's the choice. World, soul. World, soul. You can gain the world, but you're going to lose everything. You lose everything. The world and its pleasures seem so appealing. But friends, they always lead to one losing his soul. Always. Jesus said that only those who are willing to lose their lives for me and the gospel will have eternal life. You see, following Jesus, living for him is not easy. I'm not going to mislead you about that. It is not easy at all. But even so, I can't think of anything or anyone worth losing my soul over. Can you? I just can't think of anything. And yet how many people, including so-called Christians, will choose the world over Jesus? Now, when Jesus said anyone, he meant anyone. Let's bring up that slide. He meant anyone and everyone, regardless of who you are or what you have done, is invited to follow him. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. So let me ask you then, what has been your excuse? I mean, why haven't you yet given your life to Jesus Christ if indeed you're not yet a Christian? Why haven't you done that? Now, many will tell you that they're holding off on a relationship with Christ because, I mean, life is just too busy. It's just too hectic. You know, I'll get around to it. I just can't right now, you know. But I will get around to it. Or maybe you have family or friends or someone who is keeping you from turning your life over to Jesus and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. It could be that you have a past that you're not proud of. Well, join the club. Join the club. So the baggage from whatever it is in your past, the baggage from your addiction, the baggage from your divorce, the baggage from your bankruptcy, whatever it might be, has been an excuse for you for a long time. Others will point to major difficulties in their lives, and it's easy to hide behind these excuses because who's going to argue with someone who's been through a tragedy? But yet Jesus says there is no excuse. He gets rid of all excuses when he invites anyone. Sexual past, anyone. No job, anyone. Bipolar, anyone. Alcoholic, anyone. Drug addict, anyone. Gambling problem? Anyone. Recently divorced? Anyone. Ex-convict? Anyone. Hypocrite? Yeah, anyone. Rich? Anyone. Poor? Anyone. Democrat? Anyone. Anyone. Who's invited? Say it with me. Anyone. Anyone is invited. Anyone is welcome to have a relationship with Jesus. So here's my question for you today is this. Are you a true follower of Christ?
Yes, sir.
Man, I hope and pray that you are. But sometimes we allow so many things to come between us and Jesus, don't we? Well, sometimes we just allow life to get in the way. But yet what we need to understand is that Christ went to the cross to die for you, and he invites anyone and everyone just to come follow me. Everybody's invited. Everybody's invited, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, you are invited to follow me. That's the promise. That's the promise. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during the invitation song, it's an opportunity to really look deep within your own heart, your own soul, and say, what excuses have I been making? What excuses have I been making for not following Jesus? What's been getting in the way? What's keeping me from stepping out into this aisle, shaking that preacher's hand, and said, I am ready to give my life to Christ? What excuses have you made today? Because we are here to help you. We are here to, if you just need to understand more about what it means to give your life to Christ, come talk to me, will you please? Come talk to me. Maybe there's something in your life, struggles in your life, sins in your life that you need us to pray about. We want to lift you up in prayer today. Whatever that need might be, we ask you to come. As together we stand and we sing.